Chapter 7, A Dirty Scheme. The king wanted to see what kind of money could be made in another little town down the river, so he sets out with me paddling the canoe. Before we reach the town, we give a ride to a young country fellow who's on his way to New Orleans. This fellow thinks the king must be Harvey Wilkes, come from England because his brother Peter just died. The fellow says Peter Wilkes hadn't seen his brother Harvey or William, who was deaf and dumb, since he was a child. But he left them a lot of money. Well, the king gets the fellow talking and finds out about Wilkes' three nieces, his property and slaves, and everybody and everything in that blessed town. When we leave the young fellow, the king has me go get the duke. I see what he's up to, but I never said nothing, of course. The king tells the duke all he knows. The king tells the duke to play William, the deaf and dumb brother, while he will be Harvey. The king pays for a boat ride into town so he can arrive in style. About 24 men flock out to meet him. The king asks where Peter Wilkes lives. When they tell him Peter's dead, he says, "Oh, our poor brother, gone! Oh, it's too hard!" and bursts out a-crying. Then he makes a lot of idiotic signs to the duke with his hands, and he bursts out crying. Well, the men gathered around and all said all sorts of kind things to them. The king and the duke carried on like it was their last day on earth. It was enough to make you ashamed of the human race. Word spread around pretty quickly. When we got to the Wilkes house, it was packed with people and the three nieces standing at the door. The king and the duke put on another show of crying, and everybody joined in. Then the king asked about nearly everybody in town, as if he knew them all. By and by, the oldest niece, Mary Jane, read a letter written by Peter Wilkes. The letter said he'd left the girls the house and $3,000 in gold. He gave some property and another $3,000 to Harvey and William, and he told where the money was hidden in the cellar. The king said he and his so-called brother would go get the money and bring it upstairs. They found it and counted it, and it was $415 short. The king said it's going to look suspicious when they take it upstairs and count it in front of everybody. So he and the duke, they make up the money out of their own pockets. Next morning, Joanne, the youngest niece, got to pumping me about what it was like in England. I didn't know much, and the ice got mighty thin. After a while, she said I was stretching the truth a lot. Mary Jane heard that, and she lit into Joanna for being unkind to me. After all, I was a guest in the house, and far away from my own folks. Then Susan, the middle niece, waltzes in, and she gives Joanna another talking to. So Joanna apologizes, and she done it beautiful. I says to myself, these are the girls I'm letting that old snake rob of their money. I felt so low down and mean that I made my mind up. I'd get that money for them and hide it. Then, when I was away down the river, I'd write a letter and tell Mary Jane where it's hid. That night, I went up to the bedroom they gave to the king. I began to paw around, and when he and the duke both come in, I slip behind a curtain where they hung the clothes. The duke tells the king he doesn't think they put the money in a good place. The king comes reaching in under the curtain, 2 or 3 feet from where I was. I tried to think what I would say if they caught me, but he found the money bag pretty quick, and they shoved it into a rip in the mattress. I waited till they left, and then I took the bag, and I got downstairs when I heard someone coming down behind me. I run into the parlor and took a swift look around. The only place I could see to hide the bag was the coffin. I tucked the bag in under the lid and hid behind the parlor door. The person coming in was Mary Jane. She came up to the coffin, very soft, and kneeled down. Her back was to me, so I slid out and went back to my room. The next afternoon was the funeral. I was in a sweat when the undertaker came up to close the coffin with the screwdriver. But he just slid the lid closed and went to work. I didn't know if the money was still in there or not. Well, the king started talking about he had to hurry back to England. He said he must sell the property right away. 2 days after the funeral, a couple of slave traders came along. So the king sold the two sons up to Memphis and their mother to New Orleans. I thought them poor nieces and them slaves would break their heart for sadness. They cried so. The next morning, the king and the duke discovered the money was gone. They questioned me pretty close. I let on I'd seen the slaves come out of the king's room the day of the funeral. They blamed each other for that, then sassed me, and finally let me go.